Previously on AFTN.
You did a couple interviews. Well, which was your favorite on that episode?
Ryan Raposo. I know you want me to say you, but no. I can't. Like, people say they can't choose between their favorite child. That's how I look at you and Steve. It's like it's impossible to decide who's my favorite.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. If someone put a gun to my head, I mean, clearly Zach. Everybody, and welcome to another episode of There's Still Time, the AFTN Soccer Show, broadcasting on 101.9 FM CITR Radio from the unceded Musqueam Territory at the University of beautiful British Columbia. I am Michael McCall.
And I'm Steve Pander.
And we sadly do not have Zach with us this week.
You can't, don't have to make a choice this week.
No, I know. I'm not saying he has the coronavirus, but he's feeling a little bit unwell. So we have quarantined him out in the interior. And
you don't want him anybody sick in this kind of studio.
No.
It's so small and everything, yes. Like that.
Plus, I'm flying back to Scotland tomorrow, so yeah. I don't want to give the whole plane and then infect Scotland. So best to keep him where he is.
You could have been patient zero for Scotland if you had sick.
Actually, well, they tested four folk there, but they were all negative. Oh. So, yeah, I could have been the first positive. And we're going to try and be positive in this week's show. Not because Zach's not here. That's not why. It's just Steve and me that's going to look at the Whitecaps news of the week and a little bit of Canadian soccer and CPL news sprinkled in as well. Because the boys are back in town. The boys are back in town. And boy, what a busy week it's been in Whitecaps land.
These are the weeks we needed during the off-season, right?
We've got loads to talk about. The team took to the pitch for the first time in pre-season camp on Monday. They reported in on Saturday, as we mentioned in last week's show, for their medicals and all that kind of stuff. But they hit the pitch on Monday in the rain, although the rain stayed off for a big chunk of it. Tuesday, they had their fitness testing, their beep test, and Wednesday was some scrimmages and field drills. Thursday, same again. It felt, from what I saw, like a very intense week from the word go. MDS must have been saving his voice, penting up all his yells. Good to know he hadn't been yelling at his wife in the off-season, because he was in full voice this week, yelling at the players, getting those instructions done, and he was loud, and I've missed hearing him.
Mid-season form.
Oh, yeah. When he's in full voice and just telling the players what they want to do, you do what he wants them to do. That's what I would say. But it was good to see them back. But we're going to kind of go over some quick impressions of what I saw there and things that we've heard this week. Beep test, first of all. No big surprise, I don't think, for anybody that Russell Tybert was like really strong in it.
Yeah.
Andy Rose did well. That was one of the reports. I didn't actually see the beep test this time.
Well, I heard Tosin Ricketts did.
Tosin Ricketts won his group. Yeah. Rusty won his group. Andy Rose did well. Ryan Raposo came strong as well.
That's a good sign.
He tested well when he was kind of at the combine thing that they had in December as well. So he was one of the fastest one there. But overall, for the week, I thought it was a very intense week. We're going to talk about the trialists later on this show, but none of them kind of stood out in a way that you would say right away, oh, I definitely have to sign them. But his first week, they're kind of settling in. Ryan Raposo as well was a little bit shaken the first couple of days, came on well, kind of stronger towards the rest of the week. And I guess one of the big things for players that was missing was Jasser Kamiri.
Oh, really?
He was not on the pitch this week.
Is that a good sign or a bad sign?
Well, I don't think it was because of his hair.
Yeah.
He is carrying out a slight knock.
Oh, is he?
So he had
same area or different?
They've been very quiet. All Mark would say on it was they're just being very careful with him.
Yeah, because
they hope to see him on the pitch in San Diego.
Then the thing is, with knee issues like that, there are collateral issues too. Like you can have a hip issue, you can have like other parts of your body because it's compensating for what the knee was doing before.
Yeah, so it could be something. Remember, you are not a doctor. But
no, I'm not. But I've heard that.
You do like to play one when you put on that white coat with your wife.
No, but I've heard that a number of times. Whenever you hear that, they always come back from this knee injury and then something else pops up. Like
I'm hoping it is nothing.
It's just soreness
because,
usually.
Yeah, I mean he's had this whole off season where he was ready to go. But no games. It must have been so frustrating for him. But then, hopefully, it's nothing too much because I want to see this battle for centre-back. And we're going to be talking about one of the guys that is up for that battle in the next part anyway. But amongst all these guys, we also have some new signed players. And it was what I was wanting a couple of weeks ago when I wanted a kind of a player announced every day, and if they had done that, I was going to strip naked and get myself painted. Haven't quite done it every day.
No, it's too late now.
No, and it's too late. I've taken the paint back to Cloverdale. Turns out that was the wrong kind of paint. It was a real bugger to try and get off. Tuesday, though. So, 22-year-old Ghanaian midfielder Leonard Owusu joined the Whitecaps from Israeli Premier League side FC Ashdod. He signed through 2022 with an option for 2023, and he's going to be a TAM player. Now, when I first saw it, I've got to say, I thought, oh, that's a bit of an underwhelming signing because we're waiting for a midfielder.
Yeah.
And then they announced him, and I was like, oh, that's not quite what I was expecting.
No, but for me, it was like a guy who can play multiple positions. So, you know how we talked about a number of times, you want a guy who can play an 8 and a 10, or who can capable of playing a 10, considering MDS doesn't really want a 10 in his system, where it doesn't really need a 10.
Yeah.
So this guy, from what I've heard, and what I think reports were, that he started out as a number 10, moved back to a number 8, and even played 6 last year. So he's played all over the midfield in the 3 spots.
So when I first heard it, yeah, I was a bit underwhelmed. But watching his highlights video, he has some lovely distribution.
Yeah.
Like, he was spraying that ball about Pedro Morelos style. It was like, it was that good.
Yeah, and he's under, like, he's with, you don't want to say he's from Europe because he's from Israel, but Israel teams do play in kind of European competition, so it maybe is like that.
And we have had success with a Guinean midfielder, of course, in Gershon Kofi, although I would say mixed success.
But Zach would disagree.
So Zach would definitely disagree, but he's not here. So let's go with mixed. Inconsistency and mixed. Sure. But when I first saw it, I thought, oh, he'll probably just be a depth signing.
Yeah.
But he's a TAM player. So are you going to be using your TAM on a depth signing, or are we looking at him as being this guy to slot in beside Inbom?
I think he's right now to start the season. If there's no issues, fitness wise or anything, I think he does slot in next to him to start off with. Maybe they ease him in because he's not familiar with MLS. But for me, he's probably their second best central midfielder right now on paper.
And I've got to say, as the week's gone on, I've kind of looked into him a little bit more and watched some videos and stuff. I'm a lot more excited than I first was. So I want to see him in some games. We'll hopefully get to see him in some in San Diego, but the big test will be maybe in the Portland tournament, and we'll kind of see what he's like.
He's the eventual replacement for Inbom if Inbom gets sold into Europe in the summertime, and some of the fees that were discussed about Inbom are pretty high. Yeah, yeah. So
talk about possibly recouping the Cavallini.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Let him go now.
Yeah, no, but and then at that point, then they bring in a DP type signing for the central midfield.
Oh, yeah,
because
that
position
would obviously then free that up.
Yeah, so there you go. So that's where you're
Scotty
looking at.
Scotty Arfield or something, depending how his Rangers season goes and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see how he'll slot in, and really a lot of the dynamics in the team. You're going to have a midfield battle, which There should be some more midfield pieces to add.
For sure.
And then that should be a good battle. I hope there's some more midfield pieces
right
to
now,
add.
Right now, if they start the season with the players they have, I'm kind of okay. I wouldn't mind another player that can is in the Rose Tybert role.
I think we need a six.
Somebody in that level. You don't need to spend too much on a six if you can maybe get something. Somebody within the league.
I know Wusu could possibly be a six as well and go box to box.
And he really be if he distributes the ball from up high, imagine what he could do from back there. Mm. But if you get somebody from within the league to be that six, that would be ideal too. So it's something they're looking for sure.
Yeah, and there's going to hopefully be a midfield battle because that's what I want to see to these guys to earn places. There's definitely going to be a battle for centre-back.
For sure.
Now, it was finally confirmed on Wednesday. Eric Godoy is back.
All the I's dotted and the T's crossed.
Yep. It seemed ages for Colón to do their signature. I don't know whether they had run out of ink or something down there, but eventually they've signed it. No confirmation as to what the transfer was. It had been rumoured to be around 1.5 million. I'd also seen 1.1, 1.2 million.
Yeah.
No matter what, it's over a million. And it's another TAM player as well. Godoy signed through 2022. 2023 is an option. Last year, he made 31 appearances overall in all competitions. He won the Whitecaps Unsung Hero Award. He was ninth in MLS for clearances with 127, and he was three off the MLS single season record for blocks with 32. So, that's good. Obviously, it's testament as to how much pressure our defence was under at the same time.
For sure.
But, he had a solid year. And we did talk a little bit about it in last week's show. Had a bit of a wobble in the summer that he struggled to recover.
And that happens in the first year for players from MLS. Either you struggle right off the bat or you do end up having a rough patch in the middle of the season. Now, my one question is, last year he played the majority with Daniel Henry, who took a lot of the physical parts of being of the back line, dealing with the star strikers and stuff like that. Godoy was more of a free ranger, if you want to make that kind of comparison, where he was able to move around and stuff like that. Do you see him taking that Daniel Henry role? Or do you expect a Cornelius or Kamiri to do that?
I think Godoy will be more your stay-at-home centre-back.
Yeah. So
I think Cornelius is going to be the guy, or Kamiri, or if they sign Amir Didic, one of these guys that is going to be the guys that goes up more and more the set piece. I think Godoy will be your stay-at-home guy. But in saying that, when he had that little run out at right-back, I liked what I saw from there.
So did I.
So he can certainly go forward. And he's a good ball-playing centre-back. And I guess that brings us to that question that we debated a little bit last week. It's would we slot him in at right-back? Would we have a three at the back? I think right now, everything's on the table. And you just try and maybe try a few things in pre-season and see what clicks and what's working as you get into first kick and just run with that.
Or maybe they both are able, whoever he plays alongside of, they both are able to move up and down and kind of choose and pick and choose where they go.
But he certainly is going to be the starter. And I think Cornelius is probably going to be the guy that gets the start.
For sure, because they played more together. Kamiri's still kind of new to the league, kind of. He's rarely, I think he maybe played two games last year, if I'm not, I can't remember now.
Kamiri, just the one.
Just played against Galaxy? Okay, it's a one game.
Did you see the social media video they put out of Godoy signing, where it was the heads and top? That was one of the best things the Caps have done for a long time. That was really good.
Their social media has been pretty good.
I didn't mean that disparaging. Yeah. It's just that was a really, really good video. Yeah, they have turned it around a lot. There's been some good snark as well, which I always like. Now, Thursday brought two new signings, two homegrown signings, the 20th and the 21st of the MLS era, Gianfranco Fascinelli and Patrick Metcalf. Fascinelli, centre-back, Metcalf, a very versatile midfielder who can play an eight, a six, can also play centre-back at a push as well. Now, we obviously don't want to get carried away, and Mark DeSantis talked about that at training on Thursday. He's like, every time we sign a homegrown guy, you guys are like, he's the next big thing.
Oh, Alfonso
Davies. Coming and all this kind of stuff. It's basically temper expectations. And I think we have to with these two.
Yeah.
Fascinelli as well. I mean, he said that himself. I got a chance to speak to them on Wednesday before their announcement was signed on the Thursday. And ran those interviews on Thursday, so you can check those out on AFTN.ca. But Fascinelli himself, he basically said that he felt he shouldn't even be getting talked about for first team minutes just now. He knows he's got so much work ahead of him and a lot of development.
That's a good sign, too, from a young player.
I loved him saying that. And Patrick Metcalf as well, of the two, is the one that I think could maybe challenge more for minutes from the word go. And a couple of years ago, when Patrick Metcalf was signed to WFC2, one of the coaches within the Whitecaps organisation, I won't say who it was, said to me at the time that they felt that his ceiling and his technical ability was higher than David Norman Jr.'s.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing about him, too, he's kind of a guy that goes completely under the radar. You hear of him, you see him play, you like what you see when he plays and everything like that, how he plays on the pitch. But he's still under the radar. There's nothing like, I don't want to say there's nothing flashy about him, but he just does his job on the pitch.
There isn't in a lot of ways. He has a great shot on him.
Yes.
But that aside, it's not flashy.
And the thing is with him, I don't think he ever made it to like a top five residency list or anything like that. So he's kind of gone, like I said, under the radar, but he's worked at it and he's the kind of guy that like, Back in the day, you'd want CPL for it. Like, luckily for the Whitecaps, he's kind of stayed with the Whitecaps.
And you never know, they may get loaned out to CPL depending on what happens. Initially, they're going to be with the team, and I would think for the first half of the season, they'll certainly be with the team.
Yeah.
But, I mean, two exciting signings. And for me, the big thing about Fascinelli's signing that I like is we have finally found a homegrown centre-back. It's something we've been talking about for years. It's like, why there's been some potentials they've gone to college. Why has no centre back come through the ranks? Now we've actually got two, because we also have Pisao as well.
Yeah.
Who we talked about last week may be linked to getting signed and then kinda loaned out to Europe or something.
Right, right. And the thing is there have been like very good players. I think there was what was his name? Harrison? Jack Harrison? Or Jim? I can't remember. He went to Michigan.
Yeah.
University of Michigan. The one that I thought would have made the Whitecaps, but he really had no interest in playing for the Whitecaps. He wanted to go to Europe, was Daniel Stanesi back in the day. Like, first year of residency, the first residency class. So it's good to see it. He's really shown a lot. He basically led Canada to the World Cup as the captain. So it's a good sign that that guy you're signing is the captain of your national team at that age level, and the way he talks, like you said, shows that he's got maturity beyond his years.
I mean, he's really good. So check out our chats that we ran on the site. Now, they weren't the full interviews. We're going to actually bring you both full interviews with those two guys on next week's show, which may be a little bit different because we're not going to be doing, or we don't think we're going to be doing a live show in the studio.
Well, I don't think we'll be doing a live show. We might, depending on how Zach feels, we might do a show because you're going to be away in Scotland.
Yeah.
We might get together, do a show, and then have some interviews that you've done previously.
Definitely got some interviews coming out next week, and we'll see what else we splice around that. Some other little tidbits just from this week. It looks like MDS is still on the lookout for a second goalie. Now, we talked last week that he's going to have a look at Thomas Hassel and Gagliardi, the second round draft pick, but it also looks as well, we kind of indicated on Thursday, that he's still going to be in the frame possibly for bringing in a second goalkeeper. Maybe a guy that's got experience in the league or something like that, or maybe a top USL guy. So we'll kind of see how all that goes as well. And next week's show that I talked about some interviews is going to also in part be a goalkeeper special, because I've been working on a special kind of little thing, and I had a good chat with Max Kripo and Thomas Hassel at training this week. So keep that a little bit as a surprise for now, but it's something a bit different, interviews with them. So I hope you'll enjoy that as well. And then something that kind of just came out tonight before we went on air, our good friend Glass City, listener to the show, I'm sure you all read all his tweets. He had an interesting thing sent to him, which is from Jasser Kamiri's Instagram account. And it was just a little photo wishing Marty McDermott, the kit guy, another good friend of ours here at the show, a happy birthday. But in the background, there was a strip on a chair with the number 7 on it and the name Milinkovic.
Yeah.
Which, piecing it together, not a lot of Milinkovic's that, that
well, there's one really, that. Really pop, a really good one in Lazio in Italy, and I don't think he's coming
probably
here for
him.
No.
So it's more likely to be David Milinkovic, who's currently with Hull City, previously with Hearts of Midlothian in Scotland. The English Championship club is apparently willing to let him leave on a free transfer should he find a new club. So that fits the Whitecaps' remit. Yeah.
And he plays, he's considered a left winger. He can play striker and right wing as well. So he kind of fits that mode of being able to play across the front three.
So that would be an interesting one. I remember seeing him playing for Hearts. He did get a few goals. He got a few assists there as well. Now, obviously, there's no confirmation as to whether this is the thing or what it is. Could just be having a look at him on trial. But giving him the number 7 shirt would kind of make you think, So that's something to follow closely, I think, this week. See what the Whitecaps say about that. But we're going to be back with some more Whitecaps chat after this.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theatre, Discorder lives. Favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theatre. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheatre.com.
Last night, I left the bar. I was thirsty, and I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could. The only place that could possibly help me.
Hello, Canadian Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. A. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
Music. Waste. Wants. You. Music. Waste. Wants you.
Music Waste wants you.
Music Waste, Vancouver's premier DIY music and arts festival, wants you to join our brand new community council. We're looking for enthusiastic folks to give their input on everything from programming to the festival's long-term goals, and are explicitly encouraging applications from BIPOC, LGBT2SQIA+, and people with disabilities. Help shape the direction of Music Waste 2020. To apply, visit musicwaste.ca. Hurry. Applications close January 31st.
Hi, I'm Mark Dos Santos, and you're listening to the AFTN Soccer Show.
I thought I saw you in the parrot's beak, messing with the smoke alarm. It was too loud for me to hear her speak, and she had a broken arm. It was close, so close that the walls were wet. She wrote it out in lecherous sets. No, you can't call me her name. Tell me, where's your hiding place? I'm worried I'll forget your face.
Humbug is the album that that song is from, the Arctic Monkeys' Cornerstone, here on the AFTN Soccer Show on CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory at the University of British Columbia. And there were a lot of buzzwords and phrases during the rounds at Whitecaps training this week. Axel Schuster gave a talk to the players before the first on-field session on Monday, and everyone was certainly singing from the same hymn book afterwards. And that hymn was that 2019 was in the rearview mirror. They only wanted to look through the windshield for 2020. Let's hope it's not a car crash of a season like last year.
No, but did people still ask about 2019, though?
Yeah.
You know the answer.
Yep. Max Crepeau at one point said, okay, this is the last time we mention 2019. So, and Russell Tybert as well was like, we're not looking back at 2019, we're looking forward. So that's good, because they should, because 2019, it's done, it's dusted. Let's just forget it. It was a horrible year all round, both on and off the pitch. I think we do want to move on. But the other buzzword that has been happening really since Axel Schuster took over, and then Mark Pan has talked about it as well, and Mark DeSantis is speaking about it, the four cornerstones that the club are looking to meet when they're looking to get players. I think when we do our AFTN 2020's Whitecaps bingo card this year, cornerstone or cornerstones is going to be the free square.
Okay.
It's replaced fine lines.
Okay. Yeah, about to. It should too, because he's already down under right now. Or is he? Is he official or no?
It's still not official yet, I don't think.
That's weird.
But yeah, I mean, cornerstones are mentioned a lot. So let's see if you've been paying attention. I was going to test you and Zach, so it's just you, Steve. Can you name the four cornerstones?
No, I'm not going to.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Team spirit.
Obviously, yeah.
Work ethic.
Okay.
Discipline.
Yeah.
And mentality.
Okay, that makes sense.
If I didn't have them written down here, I would never remember those either.
I listened to all the interviews, but I didn't remember them. Like, it didn't click into me. So maybe hopefully they really beat it into the players, so they understood it more.
TWDM. Easy to remember there. But yeah, I mean, it's good. I'm making fun of it in light of it, but it is good to have that and instill it. And we've wanted the Whitecaps to have an identity for a while. This does that. That gives them that. And like team spirit, yeah, obviously. We've seen it. And it was kind of hinted at, reading between the lines for some things that Inbom said in one of his interviews, that maybe team spirit wasn't that great last year either.
Well,
because he said something about, even if you hate the guy in the locker room, you still have to get on.
No, but that's the thing is like, no matter what happens, when you're losing, team spirit's never going to be that great. Winning improves anything that's going on in the locker room.
But when you're losing, that also shows the mark
of
what
kind
of player you are and the kind of players that you want to keep around.
Exactly.
And I think that's exactly what MDS has done.
Yeah.
And work ethic, everyone needs to have that.
For
discipline,
sure.
Thankfully, we haven't had for a couple of seasons since the Effie Juarez era
with
all those red cards. So we've had a couple of years where it's been pretty good. And the mentality has to be right for this team. And I think overall, I think it's been good. And I think the club right now is sitting in a good position. And especially kind of off the pitch, I think, as well. The appointment of Axel Schuster was good, but I think the appointment of Mark Panis is certainly one of the best off-season additions. He's still doing the media rounds. His engagement with fans on social media, Instagram and Twitter, is first class.
Yeah.
Really, really like it.
And he really interacts with them well, too. So, and fans like that. Like, they like being talked to by higher-ups
in a positive way. It makes them feel that the club's listening to them as well.
Exactly.
I haven't had a chance to speak to Mark yet, because as an introductory thing, I couldn't get away from work. So when I do get back from Scotland, I'm hoping to have a sit-down with him and get a nice chat as well with him and just look at the way forward. And I'm excited about the things, and we talked about this last week a little bit, that's happening in the front office and off the pitch. On the pitch, though, do you think that they're maybe a little bit further behind than they should be?
I think I expected them to be around this, but I know they've said, and they were constantly moving the line all the time to say, you know, when they're going to bring people in. And, you know, I remember asking the question to MDS at the end of the year, when do you expect to come? And he said that he wanted people by a certain date, but they moved the line. It shifted back and forth and everything like that. But right now, I'm okay with where they are. I kind of wish they had one bigger player. Like, I expect them to get two DPs and have that third one for the summer. But when you have already Ali Adnan in bomb and you haven't really done anything else.
Yeah, you haven't got the mechanism right now to
bring anybody
to get
else
anyone
in.
Else
so
in.
Right now, they're in a good position. I do like the fact that they do have Mbom and Ali as, you know, possible sell-ons already.
Yeah.
They're set up ready to go. So because they don't – you know, we knew Mbom when he came in that he wanted to go to Europe.
Yeah.
Ali was in Europe.
Ali didn't even think would stay, so I was kind of surprised when he even did.
Yeah,
so, I mean, that was good.
I think they promised him that, you know, stay with us and we'll try to get you somewhere that we'll let you showcase your abilities and stuff like that. So right now, I think they're okay. They're kind of not perfect, but who's perfect at the beginning of the season?
I would have liked to have had a couple more strong midfielders in.
Yeah, for sure.
For now, for this stage of it than San Diego that we're now meeting. And I asked MDS, and we'll play that in a little bit, and he feels that they're about where he thought they would be. But it all really boils down to, and you're talking about the cornerstones and the mentality, is what would be seen as a successful season for the Whitecaps? Now, MDS wouldn't be drawn too much on that, and neither would Axel Schuster. So let's just hear exactly what they said about that just now.
When you look at the off-season up till today, has it gone a bit slower than you hoped, or are you where you thought you'd be?
No, it's good. It's good. Guys, I'm really excited. I'm excited. It's very good. Inside the reality, inside the rules of salary cap in MLS, inside what happens, I'm excited with what we're doing. But it's like that. When you want to sign bad players, it happens really fast. You call, they sign, they're in, it's over. Good players, it's hard, the process. You get to the 99% in 2 days, and then it takes 2 months to get that extra percent. That 1%, the last one, is hard. But we're going after good players. We're trying to bring here good young talents that have quality, that could grow, and that's not easy to bring. So it takes a process, and I'm used to it, so it's fine.
Mark, what's the realistic expectations for this side?
I don't want to be talking about making playoffs or making winning the Canadian Championship. I think what we have to talk about is improve another step from last season. We have to be humble and go like that. And I think that the step's going to be very good. If our team spirit is good, if our mentality is good, if everything we do to prepare to training with the pieces that are going to be added, we'll have a chance to compete for everything, I think.
I don't like to speak about that before we don't have all the pieces together, because I always said we compete for the best solution, and that means even we sometimes need a little bit more time. So if we finally get all that best solutions, then you can ask me again. Okay. But for sure, the most important thing and the first thing is we want to be a team that wants to go everywhere and even at home to try to win every game and to work hard for that. So everybody should see that. But if we speak about the real bear, where it is at the end, we should speak about that 1 week before the home opener. You can ask me that.
What are you looking at?
So that was the thoughts there of Axel Schuster and Mark DeSantos, just about their expectations for the season. And obviously I asked Mark a little bit about where he felt that everything was just now. They're not obviously going to put any more pressure on themselves by saying that. So, I mean, that's fair enough. Axel said to ask at the end of the season end of preseason.
Yeah.
He wants the best solution before he'll talk about maybe the final solution as to where they might end up finishing or whatever. What would you class as a successful season?
Definitely a better run in the Canadian Championship, Voyagers Cup. We should be at least getting to the semifinal, but I would like to see them in the final. And in MLS, end of season, I'm not sure about right now, but right now, I want them to see be better, more competitive on the pitch, where they're not worrying about being run over by a team, especially at home. They need to whatever they do on the road, that's a bonus. But they need to really get their home play on par, where they're not sitting back, they're not scared of people on at home. They're actually attacking at home or putting pressure on the the other team at home.
I think that is important because it seems so long ago now. Remember, the Whitecaps were always tweeted out about Fortress BC Place. Yeah. The last couple of seasons, it's been far from that. And they need... I mean, if they can... I said this... I was doing a chat on a podcast during the week, and I said, if they can get 90% of their points at home, that sets them up really, really well.
Yeah, exactly.
That's maybe a bit... And then, unrealistic, I don't know.
And then,
know,
if, like we said before, you make up that other 10% on the road, or get 15%, get more than like the 100% that you would get home to get there. That would be ideal. Like if they can get 90% at home, and then of their, are you talking 90% of the total points or 90%
of their 90%
of
their total
available points at home? Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
And that.
Yeah, and then you get
that would set them up lovely.
And then if you get 20% of the points at or 30 or something like that on the road, then I think you're in the playoffs at that point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because 90% is 46 points.
Yeah,
if you win every game.
Yeah,
that's maybe a little bit.
No, I think they should be capable of doing that. Even with a team that's kind of new and getting to know each other, they should be able to play that at home.
For me, what I think success would be is winning the Voyagers Cup. If they win that, I think that's fantastic, and that sets a good benchmark to build from.
For
you're
sure.
In the Champions League. I agree with you, some strong home form. But I want to see us competitive for the playoffs as well.
Yeah. No, like
if we make it, I think that'll be a bonus, because I don't think we're going to make it.
No,
I want us to be in the mix
in
down the line.
Yeah, we don't want to be doing the end of season show in September like we did last year, or August or whatever it was.
And the big thing, it has to both look stats-wise and feel an improvement on 2019.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so that's a given.
Yeah, we have to see improvement. And like I was asked, do I think Mark DeSantis' job's under threat? And it's like, not in the slightest. But the only thing that would maybe put it under threat
if
we went back from last year.
For sure.
Because this is completely
and
his rebuild.
You know what? If he does go backwards, then there's no like defending whether he should stay or go at that point. And they have to make the right decision for the club.
And I mean,
but I don't see that happening.
Do you think...
Because it's hard to go any further back.
Yeah. Don't say that.
Yeah, I know.
Do you think the general fan base would accept that, or are they?
No, they.
Is it playoffs for them or nothing?
It's playoffs.
That's what
I'm thinking. It's 100% playoffs, and they. I don't know about the. I don't know how much they care about the general fan base cares about the Voyagers Cup, but MLS is the league, and that's what they want. Playoffs, and they want even. I guarantee some of them even want a win or two there in the playoffs to move up in the, get close to the finals.
But we'll get to see more of the. The team takes shape over the coming weeks as we build up to first kick. That's the first part of the 2020 pre-season wrapped up here in Vancouver. 4 days of on-pitch training up at UBC. They've now headed south to the sunnier climes of San Diego for an 11-day training camp.
Oh, I wish I could be with them right now.
I had originally planned to, if I unfortunately didn't have to go back to Scotland, because it's not... I'm going back more for family stuff. It's not exactly a pleasant trip that I'm going back for, but... All the trialists are heading down to San Diego with them, and more on the trialists in the next part. Christian Dahomey and Eric Godoy have met the team down there as well. Dahomey is still kind of sorting out all his green cards and visas and everything.
Canadian
like that.
Stuff, probably. Yeah. Because if he's in San Diego, then he should be fine. But it's the Canadian stuff that
getting
needs
to come up here.
Yeah.
And it's good. They're now integrated with the team. They seem to be having a lot of smiles down there as well. So it's a great atmosphere. Mark DeSantis talked about the mentality of it being good, everything like that as well. So at training this week, I asked him what he was hoping for from this part of pre-season, and with a little look into the Portland tournament at the end of the month as well.
What are you looking for in San Diego from these games and this camp?
I'm excited because of last year, right? And last year we can build the mentality. It was hard to build the culture because you're in training camp and on the phone trying to figure out the visas of the other guys arriving. And right now what I'm looking forward and my focus is really for us to build that mentality, to build that winning mentality, to go into the games of preseason with the mentality to get good results. And that's what I'm looking for. And the base we have right now since day one allows us to go into preseason like that.
And in the Portland games at the end of the month, is that when you're more...
The tournament in Portland.
Nailing it down to...
Yeah, that's Portland. We want to be very close to what we want to look like in MLS games.
Yeah, I mean, that makes complete sense. That is really the time to try and nail down your starting lineup. And the last game that we have down there against Minnesota, that team should be, barring any late additions, the team that takes the pitch against Sporting Kansas City a week later. So we talked about Dahomey and Godoy have met up. There's an outside chance, MDS said, that Owusu might meet up with them down there as well, or it might have to meet up with them back here in Vancouver when they get home. And there's an interesting comment from JJ Adams today in a province piece, just talking about how delays in getting the Canadian green cards to the US ones hampers Canadian clubs, because it does. All these American teams seem to be able to get their green cards through really quickly. And then we've got the likes of Dahomey and Owusu and all these guys that are having to wait a little bit. So it does hamper them. Now, there's three games down in San Diego. They're playing Columbus on Tuesday the 28th, Dallas on February 1st, and then they round up the games against the LA Galaxy on February 4th. I mean, what are you hoping to see down in San Diego, Steve?
Progress. The first game might be a little bit rough, but then second game you're hoping better, and then the third game you even hope better. Results really don't make a difference to me. Yeah. You just want to see...
It's the performances, and the chemistry.
You want to see the system working too, the way he wants it to work, MDS wants it to work. That's what you want to really see. You want to see that in full motion, like a lot better than what you saw in Hawaii last year. That didn't look good at all at that point.
Especially with Japanese coaches screaming loudly into the microphone.
That's especially you don't want. You want the microphone to be in the kind of neutral area.
Yeah, I'll have to see exactly what time the games are to see if I can see them when I'm back home or not. But yeah, looking forward to this next part. And I hope you're looking forward to the next part of the show, because we've got a nice little interview coming up and some more Whitecaps chat as well. And we'll be back with that after this.
This is a very serious Shindig announcement. The Shindig finalists will be announced live on CITR at 8 a.m. on Wednesday, January 29th, just in time for the finals on Friday, January 31st at Redgate Art Society. So tune in to 101.9 FM or on CITR.ca at 8 a.m. on Wednesday, January 29th to find out who will be playing in the Shindig 2020 finals.
Explore the arts this winter at League Square Community Arts Village. They're offering an exciting lineup of visual and performing arts programs this winter, including capoeira, Brazilian dance, and martial arts for 3 to 12-year-olds. Parent and taught jam sessions, the iGirl Empowerment and Art Workshop for ages 9 to 12, and adult classes in digital photo editing and photography, just to name a few. Registration is available online at experienceit.ca or call 604-927-7529 for a full listing of arts and culture programs in Port Coquitlam. For more information on Lee Square, please visit portcoquitlam.ca/arts or call 604-927-8400.
Attention grad students, share your research, find out what's going on in other disciplines, approach your work from a new angle. Check out Fire Talks, the interdisciplinary discussion forum sponsored by the Research Commons at Kerner Library. Visit bit.ly/firetalk for more information.
Hi, I'm Lucas Cavallini. You're listening to the AFT Soccer Show.
In my head, I feel so bad.
In My Head is the 2016 album from German band Gurr. And that was the last song from our Artists of the Month from that album.
I've enjoyed them.
They're a good band. Yeah. That was called Klautraum. German, such a beautiful language, isn't it? It means clear dream.
Boy, the way you pronounce that, I didn't think it was going to be that. Yeah,
they're a good band. Check them out. Gurr. G-U-R-R.
And they're still active and everything right now.
Oh, yeah. They're actually playing in London the day after I fly home. Oh. So I timed that badly. I almost, when I was looking to see if I could fly home after the gig, it was going to be so much more. And yeah. I was like, okay, I'm sure I'll see them at some point in the future. You're back listening to the AFT and Soccer Show on CITR Radio 101.9 FM. Broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory at the University of Beautiful British Columbia. So, Gurr, Clear Dream, and there's five trialists in the Whitecaps pre-season camp right now that they've got their clear dreams just now, and that is a dream of earning an MLS deal in Vancouver. Now, we talked about them a little bit last week, so we won't go into them in too much detail, but there's some hope there. So before kind of look into a little bit more, here's MDS talking about them, what they could bring to the team, and along with the issues of not having a proper development team and what that then means for these five players.
They're all going to be making the trip to San Diego. The four could sign with the Whitecaps and the four could go back home. So that's what I could say.
Did any of the four impressed? Anyone stand out?
Impressed, no, but I would tell you this, and this is a big discussion because I know a lot of people speak about how better it is to have a second team playing in a league, and yeah, we know that. We know right now that the setup of our development squad and everything is not ideal. But right now we're evaluating everything and to see what's next. And Axel being here and allows us to try to study more what's going to be next, what's important. I would tell you this, if we had a second team playing, let's say in the USL, the four would stay with us. They have the quality to do that. Now that we don't have that, that is the reality now. We have to evaluate what does it mean to sign them. What does it mean in the current roster? What does it mean to the development? Can we sign and loan because we believe that in 2021 they could play a role? These are all things that we're looking at.
So yeah, once again, this lack of a USL team or a proper reserve team,
yeah.
It's hurting these guys' potential. But, I mean, it's not necessarily bad news because there's other options. You could sign them and then loan them out.
I don't think it's hurting them. It's hurting the Whitecaps because the Whitecaps can't put these guys in the same situation they want. So then they kind of run the same system. And then if they want to bring them up, they bring them up and they already know what the system is. So that's, I think it hurts the Whitecaps more than it hurts the players.
I mean, MDS is talking one of them could make it. All four could make it and impress, which is tough when you look at the additions to the roster.
Yeah, now
there's got to be some folk move on for these guys to make it. And you have to think, well, are they improvements with what's on the roster just now? And to be honest, probably not. And like I said in the first part, none of them so far in week one just grabbed you as standing out.
Yeah.
Sissoko is signed with Halifax. They've been keeping a close eye on him.
Also, he did sign with them.
Yeah, so he has signed with them, but he's free to come to the Whitecaps. And probably, or there might be a little
sell on
or whatever. But the other option is Whitecaps could say, yeah, look, we want to sign him, but we want him to loan back to you guys and then play a season in CPL. We'll keep an eye on him.
Okay.
So that's
makes sense.
One option. But if you look at these players, the one that you feel has to have the best shout of making it is Canadian international centre-back now, Amir Didic. And we talked about him last week. So I got a chance to speak to the man himself at training on Monday, just talking about the whirlwind year that he's had from being released from Sporting Kansas City to finishing the year as a Canadian international with the national team. So we talked about all that. Some of it I've had in a written piece you might have seen on AFTN, but there's a lot more as well as we talk about the whole Canada situation. Here's Amir Didic.
So, Amir, it's nice to see you here in Vancouver. I've kind of followed your career for the last couple of years, and like you're back here, kind of reunited with Marty Santos. I know you had a season with him at Spoke Park Rangers. Is it weird to have him shouting at you again on the training pitch?
Oh, yeah, it's a little weird. It's a couple, 2 or 3 years ago since I last saw him, where we went to the final there with Spoke Park. And, no, yeah, it's he's a great coach, and so... It just brought back memories from that first year there, and it's nothing but good memories.
Now, if we kind of look at the last year, you were let go by Kansas City, mm-hmm. and I actually thought the Whitecaps might have made a move for you back then just because we needed centre-backs, Mark knew you. When you're released like that and you're with an MLS team, obviously you don't know what the future's going to hold in store. Were you starting to question like where you needed to be and what you needed to do at that point?
I think for me, getting released from Kansas City there, it was important for me to get back to playing soccer every week, every game, and finding myself and getting back to my own rhythm, which is the most important thing for me, and MLS has always been my goal, and it always will be, still will be. So it was a matter of going to a club where I'd play week in, week out, and find my my confidence and all that, and sharpen the tools, and eventually be able to have an opportunity like this.
And the season you had with Edmonton as well. I mean, when you went there, was the plan? Jeff Pylas had talked about wanting to get you back to the higher level again. So was that the plan? Like have a year there, see how things were, where the land lay, and then just look at your options.
Yeah, you know, Jeff. I've known Jeff since I was in high school there, and it was the first academy. He was my first coach there, so I have a good relationship with him. And just talking with him before coming to Edmonton, we both kind of agreed on the goal, that which was to make the jump up and to the MLS. And so the relationship between both of us, we knew what each of us wanted. We wanted to go and win games, obviously with Edmonton, and try to compete in the league, but also in the back of both of our heads, personally, for a goal of mine was to make that jump. And so he was throughout the whole process, the whole year, and even now, he's been extremely I've been fortunate enough for him to be able to do what he has done for me.
Now, I've watched you play with Spoke Park, and the difference from seeing you there to the difference of watching you at Edmonton this year, I mean, your game's come on leaps and bounds. I know it's always going to, you're older, you're learning stuff, but you touched on it earlier. So much of it is like regularly playing and consistency. Is that what you put it really down to, of doing so well this past year?
Yeah, I think it's also that and the little things that I'm always striving to work at, and especially in a position of mine, it's little details that can be so beneficial, and I think that's something that, I mean, even throughout your whole career, you still learn and learn and learn. But I think that past year there is just, I made a leap, I guess, in terms of sharpening those tools. And honestly, like, I thank Sporting Kansas City because it was such a great club, and the training was fantastic. The staff, the players and all that were fantastic. And so I think just playing in that type of environment with such great players also allowed for me to translate that with a different club and with different teammates there, and kind of gained my golf confidence from there.
And being a Canadian guy, playing in the Canadian League in its first ever season, what did that mean to you, and how did you kind of find the quality of the league?
Yeah, growing up, there's not much in Edmonton to look forward to, and even throughout the whole Canada. And so, the opportunity to play there in a brand new league with something with so much uncertainty is always going to be interesting. And for first year, I think it passed a lot of people's expectations as well as it did mine. The quality is only going to get better too, I'm really excited to see what that league will look like 5-10 years from now. And based off this past year, it's looking not bad.
And the good thing about the league now, whether you feel MLS is way higher or CPL is a little bit below that. But players were getting a look for the national team. Guys that we know well here, like Marco Carducci, and then yourself, you got your first call-up. Mm-hmm. Did you think you'd ever get your first call-up playing in the CPL?
Honestly, no, I didn't. I think it's more of a look at the Canada squad, right? There's tons of quality nowadays and on the Canada squad, and look at the clubs they're playing, look at the leagues they're playing. And so yeah, in the back of my head, it's always been my goal to obviously represent the national team and be a part of the group. But I think just at the going into the beginning, even throughout most of the year, it was a matter of playing as best as I can, and if it happens, it happens. September, October, once that time came around, I was ecstatic too. Surprised, shocked, a lot of emotion went into that, but when I got my first call up there, so it's always been a goal of mine. So,
and then I mean, some folk did wonder, like, were the call ups just like a token thing to show the CPL is competing? But you've obviously proved you deserve to be there. You got your first couple of actual caps now with Canada. How was this last camp, your whole experience, pulling on that jersey for the first time? I mean, it's going to obviously live with you forever.
Yeah, you know, just being in the first camp in October in Toronto and then the next camp in November in Orlando really set me up to succeed, is the best way I want to put it, for the next camp, because of you go in as a new guy, right? It's, everything's new. The tactics are new. You have John Herman and the staff who want to play a certain way, and those camps are so short, so you got to go in there and kind of get adjusted quickly. And so I think those two camps, I processed all the information and knew what the coaching staff are looking for in as a center back. And so this last camp there, was able to translate that and kind of show that, hey, I can process this information, and I'm able to apply it on the field with the team. And when you talk about putting on that shirt, figured out the day before that Barbados game that I'd be playing, and a bunch of emotions, obviously going to bed and stuff. And I kind of asked for a better way to have my debut with a gold there too. So that was something special. I probably should have had more emotion than I did. But
it's probably a shock, though, as well. Because when you go to bed the night before, it's like your dream, oh, I'm going to score a goal on my debut.
Yeah. You always think you're going to get a clean sheet. First thing on mind, a clean sheet. And then, obviously, if you can get something off a set piece. That's my always thing, is always clean sheet first. Obviously, you're a defender, right? So, yeah, and then, obviously, I wasn't too sure what the next game. I was happy as it is, you know, getting my first debut. And first, I guess, goal there. And then the Iceland game came around, and I got the nod there. And, it was another game where it was just one of those, like, you're looking at the kit, you're putting the kit on, you're looking in the team huddle, and the national anthem was, you know, you're singing your national anthem there. And is in that moment, in those moments when you're singing the national anthem, when you realize, like, this is something I want to be a part of, you know, something that I want to continue to strive for every day. So, unfortunate with the result there off the set piece. But I think we dominated the game pretty well, especially in the second half. Second half there, just couldn't tuck one away. But, it was that last camp, a massive experience. And I look just forward to building off of that.
When did you know that you were going to be coming to here? When did Mark kind of reach out to you?
Yeah, it was that week of those games.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And obviously being in the camp with the Canadian guys, and there's so many of them here, has that made the transition to this week a little bit easier for you?
Oh, yeah, definitely easier. Like some of the guys I talked to, even when we were in camp, I don't let them know that I'll be there and there. They're very, you know, whatever you need, you know, like we're here, you know. So there's a bunch of them there. So it was coming in the first day yesterday. It was pretty much like I saw them the other day, which I did. So it's comforting and helps the process, you know, go a little smoother.
And then how's it been set up for you? I know you might not be able to say too much, but there's a shortage of centre-backs here. There's three right now. Has it been set up to you that, like, just go show what you can do and there's a deal for you if you impress? Or have they not really spoken about that with you?
They haven't gone too much into detail about that, but I just, right here, right now, I'm just living in the moment and just trying to train and you know, just do my thing, and whatever goes from there goes from there. So it's just,
Well, that's great. Pleasure speaking to you. Good luck. It's been nice seeing you again here. And
yeah, no worries.
Amir Didic there, and Stu and I were just having a little chat as that was playing, and just about where he would fit into the pecking order here in Vancouver. I think there's a really good chance he'll get signed.
Yeah,
I think they need five centre-backs.
Out of all the trialists, especially if they want to experiment with three at the back, I don't know if they do want to do that, but you need that extra player. So I think they will sign him, and I think right now he fits nicely as a number four centre-back, and I think he can challenge, move up if he needs to. And I think he could even, if Creamy...
Always call him Creamy.
Yeah, I know. Kamiri kind of shows a little bit more rustiness because of the lack of being able to play and everything, I think he could easily be the guy on the bench for them too.
I mean, he's had, I was going to say a meteoric rise, but I mean, he's obviously been with an MLS team before.
Yeah.
But 2019 has been a good year from him. It's like it's been almost a career year, you'd maybe want to call it.
And the thing is, a lot of people, we discussed Zator as being the other option, But the thing is, MDS has played under him in Swope Park, and he has experienced a USL MLS kind of situation.
So, well, he's been in a good environment in Kansas City,
so he has that. Like, whereas Zator was with the residency here, but really didn't. I don't know how much he experienced the professional ranks of it or what.
Well, Zator wasn't with our residency. He came through the ranks and he was at college, and then he came here to WFC too.
Yeah, that's what sorry, that's what I meant.
But yeah, I think Dedic would be a good signing. Again, excited to see him in some games. Him and Cornelius had a good little partnership with Canada.
Yeah,
I definitely think he can challenge and push to be this number three. And if he gets signed, you would hope he's going to get minutes. And we talked about this last week, because that was the whole reason, as he said, he went to Edmonton. He needed to be playing. He was. And look what happened to him. So good luck to Emir Dedic and all the other trialists as well. We're going to turn our attention away now from the Whitecaps. And when we're back for part four, we're going to look at the CPL.
High school is not free in Kenya, East Africa. As well as tuition fees, families must find money for uniforms, including shoes, textbooks, calculators, dictionaries, pens, pencils, and more. For poor, rural families earning the equivalent of $2 to $3 a day, this is often an impossible challenge. Will you help educate bright, very poor Kenyan youth to help them find a road out of poverty for their families? Just $50 a month will allow that to happen. Gifts of smaller amounts can be combined to give youth a chance through KEEF, the Kenya Education Endowment Fund, a registered, BC-based, volunteer-run educational charity. Tax-deductible receipts are available. Donations make great gifts for Christmas, graduation, anniversaries, promotions, etc. Gift cards are available. More information at www.kenyaeducation.org, or you can call us at 604-415-9397, day or evening.
Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101ubc. Or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Do you ever feel uncomfortable or unsafe walking around campus at night? There's an AMS service dedicated to helping anyone trying to get across campus alone at night. We're SafeWalk, and we have your back. Call us at 604-822-5355 to request a transfer, or check out our website at ams.ubc.ca/safewalk for more information on hours and policies.
Hi, I'm Maxim Kripo from the Vancouver Whitecaps, and you're listening to the EFTN show.
Tears on my pillow were all that you gave. The way I end my nights can't be how I start my days.
Welcome back to the AFTN Soccer Show on CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory at the University of beautiful British Columbia. Tell us who that was, Steve.
That was, the song was Bad Habit, and it's by Modern Superstitions, a band out of Toronto.
And if you're involved as a football player, you don't want to have these bad habits.
No.
Because
that's what they got infectious. The four cornerstones.
Yes. It gets rid of, hopefully, these bad habits. Now, it's not just been a busy week for the Whitecaps. There's also been a lot of big stories and talking points in the MLS and CPL over the last 7 days. We'll look at some of the MLS ones in headlines. But in this part, we're going to look at CPL news and some other Canadian news as well. It's been a busy week for CPL transfers. Tristan Borges signed with Belgian First Division B side OH Leuven till the summer of 2020, an undisclosed fee.
So six months.
See how he does.
Yeah, exactly.
Feel him out. It's a good move for him because he didn't really have anything left to prove in the CPL. I mean, he achieved so many firsts. He won so many awards and plaudits and took home all the individual awards at the end of year awards.
Yeah.
He's now got another first as the first CPL player to be sold to a European team.
It's a good first. And it's something that that's what the CPL is there for.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good move for him. He deserves it with the season that he had. This will be a good test as well because this team are pushing for promotion.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good test at a higher level. I'm a bit surprised that no MLS team came in for him.
But I think in this case, maybe there was. You never know. We don't know if there's no MLS team that came in for him. It's just that
true.
Maybe this was the better option for him for at least.
I think it's
months.
A better test, possibly than he for should sure. get playing time and starting and time there as opposed to MLS where he might be on the bench.
What do you think that the impact Jonathan David has had on? In that area, that Tristan Borges, maybe that's...
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, you've got him, and then folk will also be looking at what Davies has done at Bayern.
Yeah, for sure. Belgium, that's in the same general area. Yeah.
So, I mean, they're all going to be saying, oh, there's some good Canadian talent and seeing stuff like that as well. So, yep, good luck to him. Cavalry FC look to have lost two of their players. Dominique Malonga hasn't been officially confirmed, but the murmurs on Twitter were that he has joined Chinese League One club, Inner Mongolia, Zhongyu FC. Not familiar with Inner Mongolia? I am actually very familiar with...
Well, you heard of Genghis Khan.
Well, it's the Outer Mongolia.
Oh, is the Outer Mongolia?
Mm.
Okay.
Because I have...
I think he took over most of it.
I need to do this, actually, as our Artist of the Month.
Yeah.
There's a punk band I like called Splodginess Abounds. Lead singer's called Max Splodge.
Okay.
He released... He's had some drinking issues over the years. He released a themed album all about Mongolia and Genghis Khan.
Oh, there
which
you
I
go.
Have, and I love it.
Okay.
And, yeah, we need to do that. Maybe even next month I might do that.
Maybe when the Whitecaps sign a Mongolian player, we could play it.
Yeah. Or if he gets announced this week, I might just do that for February.
Okay.
But he looks to be on his way out. Nico Piscotti's another one. There's murmurs with the Whitecaps, Luca Piscotti or whatever as well. He looks to have signed for an unknown Spanish club just because he was shown signing something and folks saw it seemed to be Spanish.
Oh,
so
is it? Okay.
No one's really sure exactly what's happening there. But that's two big losses for Cavalry. Malonga had 11 goals last year, Piscotti 5, but they were both key players. Cavalry, though, they've added Jair Cordova, Peruvian striker, to replace them. Now, he was a top scorer in Peru's second division with Alianza Atletico last season, scoring 23 goals in 28 appearances. So he appears to be one to watch. So a couple of losses, but a good addition.
Yeah, but he could be another guy that's just 1 year in, and then maybe he impresses so much that he moves on then too. I think Cavalry will have this constant rotating door. Elijah Adekubi, wasn't there a rumor that he might be going to Sweden or something?
Yeah, to join up with his brother. I think he was having trials with at Sam's club as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's all that stuff as well. So that is the thing. Forge, Cavalry, good seasons. They're going to attract interest to the players. That's what they want. They want to sell them on.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you could say CPL is a stepping stone. Do they want to be seen as a stepping stone league? Probably in the early days, yeah.
Well, it helps with the cost and everything too. It's got to help with the cost of what they're doing, and it also shows that there is some hope here. So you get more players moving up to this level. Like a lot of players, they might not think that there's anything there out there for them, so they just quit soccer at an early age than they should, and maybe this will kind of keep them in the game and kind of improve the depth of the soccer pool. In fact,
yeah, and if Didrich signs, that would be another one to MLS, like Borges, to go with Waterman.
Borges is a great example of that. Like,
he used that league fantastically to improve himself and put himself in the shop window, helping his team to success as well, and putting the league on the map a little bit. So I think it's the best of both worlds for both parties, players, teams, the league itself. The only bad thing about it is it's not good for team stability.
Yes.
Because Cavalry, Valor, Forge, if these players keep moving on, they're going to have to rebuild.
Oh, and then the connection to the supporters is not as great, because you're always introducing new players. There was that one year we needed to figure out who was on the pitch for the Whitecaps. Remember, there were so many changes. That was MDS's first year.
See, that's something I'm used to back in Scotland with East Fife, because we signed players to one-year deals.
Yeah.
They moved on. A lot of them weren't good enough. Some moved higher. You lose that connection with them.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it, because gone are the days where a guy stays with you for 3, 4, 5 years, maybe longer, has a testimonial. That's all gone. So that's the only downside to it. But with players moving on, players are coming in as well. And one that I do want to talk about is a player we know very well here in Vancouver, Fraser Aird.
Yeah.
Back in Canada, signed for Valor FC. And the murmurs are Brett Levi's is also going to be joining Valor.
Well, I heard wasn't it official or something like that?
I don't think it was nothing was official, announced.
No. You're right. It's not official, but a lot of the people that
Fraser Aird became official.
Okay.
No word whether he's going to go in some other supporters' end and flick the V's at opposing fans or not, but I'm pretty sure he's going to get asked about that when he comes here.
I'll flick the V with his Valor.
Oh, perfect.
No issue here.
There's our question, Tim. Yeah. Did you join Valor so you could still flick the V's, but this time it's for your own team?
Yeah.
Yes. Should have put that out there. Someone's been asked that before we get there. But he's a good addition to Valor. He went to Cove Rangers to rebuild his career in Scotland. And it looked like he was possibly getting let go anyway. And maybe he had this Valor move lined up from way back anyway. But he did well with Cove Rangers. And Cove Rangers were a new team that had come into the Scottish League. They were promoted from non-league, the first team to do so. And they're sitting at top of the fourth tier in league football there. Fraser had a good season. I'm pretty sure he'll bring a lot of good stuff to Valor as well. But as he comes into Valor, there's still a lot of talk about what is happening with another Valor player, Marco Bustos. And we talked a little bit about that on last week's show, but Bustos gave an interview to the CPL website this week, and he basically talked that it's now a choice for him between staying at Valor or moving to Pacific FC. Now, the thing that Bustos talked about is he knows Rob Gale from way back. Rob Gale was the Canadian national team coach that helped him when he played youth soccer at under 17 level, so him and Gailey go way back. But at the same time, he spoke about Pa Maduka being at Pacific now.
Yeah.
And he cited Pa as being a mentor for him when he was here in Vancouver.
Yeah, and
I think that's a big lure for him.
And Pa was a mentor to a lot of players back then.
We talked about that last week. It's like he was so good with the young guys here. I think that getting to be back in BC, I know he's a Winnipeg boy, but he's spent a lot of his growing up time here. His girlfriend's from here. I think Pacific are going to get the edge here.
Yeah.
And they still talk Fiske might move on. So if he moves on, Bustos would be a good replacement. Bustos and Fiske in that team, though, together would be fantastic. Yeah, that might be something that keeps Ben Fiske staying here.
Yeah.
It's all going to boil down to salaries, though, and stuff as well. But as we talk about all these Canadian players in the CPL, there was bad news for Canadians that are playing down in the US, in the USL.
Well, it's good news for CPL, kind of.
Very good news for CPL, because it was announced that from next year, USL is going to follow MLS's lead and count Canadians as internationals. They've always counted them as domestics up to then. And MLS were always asked, well, how come USL do it and not you? Now USL are going to be the same as MLS. So any Canadians playing in USL would be take up an international roster spot. Now that makes the CPL all the more important, all the more attractive to these players. It probably won't hamper USL clubs too much.
Yeah.
Apart from maybe Colorado Springs switchbacks and Alan Cox, because he's brought Mamadi Kamara, Sean Melvin, some of the Canadian guys as well. And for players, though, it's not ideal because the choice is then lower. So you're maybe limited to CPL, where the salaries are maybe not as good as
it's
USL.
It's a good thing Zach's not here.
Yeah. But I mean, the salaries are higher, though, just now in
USL.
I'm sure that's the thing.
Well, because they're more established. That's the thing. They are more established, so they are going to be higher there, no doubt. But
definitely a good thing for the league.
Yeah.
Keeping in USL, though, the USL League 2 fixtures were out. TSS Rovers know their fixtures for the year. And I'd hope to have an article up tonight for that. It's going to go up now on Monday. I just ran out of time to get it done this weekend. But there's a slight change in the TSS fixtures. They've been very May-heavy with their home fixtures, but now there's only one in May, one in July, and the other five are going to be in June.
Okay.
Which Colin Elms told me, it's great for the team because the pitch is going to be better at Swangard, better weather, hopefully less distractions, and then they can get all their college guys in place as well. So that should be good. Get out to Swangard and support them. Last bit of Canadian soccer news as well. The Canadian women's team are coming back to Vancouver. It's your chance to get out and see the girls down under as Australia come to BC Place on April 14th. Should be a good game. The Matildas play some nice football. And
they have one of the best players in the world, I think.
Kerr?
Yeah.
I can't remember what team she plays for, but yeah, I know
she went to Europe. I think she moved on to Europe. I think she might be with Chelsea, but I can't remember right now.
But I had some good chats with the Australian players when they were over at the World Cup. So looking forward to that one as well. April 14th, BC Place. Get your tickets now. Although,
could that be the game that Sinclair breaks the record?
Exactly. Yeah. That's even more reason to get out to see that one. If you want to be in the Voyager section, though, they're going to have their own section. Don't buy in the pre-sale or the other tickets. Check the Voyager's social media, Facebook. They've got their own forum and also Twitter, because you can get into the Voyager section there. So looking forward to that one. Busy few months to come. But we've got one more part of the show to go, and we're going to be back with that after this.
More than 100 million wild animals are killed each year illegally. Poaching is a major threat to our country's wildlife. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor with a desire to preserve living space for wildlife. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust does just that. Works with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE, or visit wildlifelandtrust.org. Thank you.
If you're one of the millions of Canadians who experience depression, anxiety, or some other form of mental illness, there's a free course that can help. The Wellness Recovery Action Plan is an evidence-based program that works. It's developed and facilitated by peers who have experienced their own mental health challenges and have used RAP to recover and maintain long-term stability. It's based on the key concepts of hope, personal responsibility, education, self-advocacy, and support. For more information about the free RAP groups hosted by Vancouver Coastal Health, visit their peer-led website, spotlightonmentalhealth.com.
You're waking the neighbors! Shut up!
The Alliance for Arts and Culture has launched a new project called Spacefinder. It's a free-to-list, free-to-search database that helps artists find spaces they need for performance, rehearsal, exhibition, and more. You can search by area, price, and space needs. Go to bc.spacefinder.org to find or list your space now.
Thousands of opinions are at our fingertips, but are all opinions informed? Does your information have a source? Is your social feed based on fact? Only facts can uncover the truth. Professional journalists are committed to balanced and nonpartisan reporting, to independent commentary. They cut through the spin to give you the information and perspective you need. Journalism is essential to democracy, a watchdog over the powerful, an independent voice. Journalism is more important than ever.
Hi, I'm Jake Nowinski, and you're listening to the AFTN Soccer Show.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
Yes, we are the Renegades of Funk here at the AFTN Soccer Show on CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory at the University of British Columbia. That was, of course, Rage Against the Machine.
Yes, dedicated to Zach because he's a big fan.
Yes,
he loves make him feel better, you know, with him not feeling well.
I haven't listened to them for a while. I should dig out. I've got a couple of albums. I should dig them out.
They all kind of have the same kind of sound, but yeah. there is definitely...
I like the sound.
Yeah.
Well, keeping with the musical theme, it's going to be time for a Wavelength now. And it's the last of our songs in January, dedicated to the FA Cup. Don't know if you saw much of the FA Cup action over the weekend, Steve?
No, I didn't.
Your boys did well.
I heard it.
And I know you always say they're not your boys, but if I was to cut you open right now, would you not bleed red?
I think everybody would.
So you're saying everyone's a Man United fan?
Well, it could be. Mm. I don't know.
Or Liverpool. Liverpool game today was fantastic. 2-0 up against Shrewsbury. Shrewsbury bring on Scottish striker Jason Cummings. He gets 2 goals, 2-2. There's a replay at Anfield.
Oh, wow.
Klopp has come out and said... he's not even going to take the team for the replay, and they're going to play the youth team.
Oh, wow. So he's giving up on the FA Cup?
The youth team did well for big parts of the League Cup. Okay. But yeah, that's
weird.
Very disrespectful, I think, to Shrewsbury as well. But very, very strange decision.
Even to make that announcement right away after the game or something, that's kind of odd.
But sticking on Merseyside, it brings us to the other team, the blue side of Merseyside, Everton.
The first kit I ever bought, too.
Oh, really?
Was Everton kit. Just because I kind of liked, I don't know what it was
about
it. You
like toffees?
No, I just liked the, it kind of looked, I had a weird sense of humor, and I think they're a sponsor with like Denka or something like that, and it kind of sounded funny to me.
Was this about the mid-80s you bought that?
Possibly.
Because this is when they were winning everything, so you're a bit of a glory hunter. No,
I honestly didn't even know, like, at that time I didn't even have a team, so, no, it wasn't the mid-90s, it might have been the early 90s or something like that.
Oh, they're pretty crappy then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they did do well in the 80s. They were in the FA Cup and they won the league. They were back in the FA Cup final in 2009. And this is a song. It's not an official Everton song for the FA Cup final, but it's by a Liverpool band called Begbie. And you could maybe even use this for the Whitecaps. It's called Blue and White.
My devotion, this love will never end. Full of emotion, we sing as loud as we can. Though we can always get what we're reaching for. My destiny, this is where I feel like home. Still, you mean everything to me. Let's make history. Blue and white, wake
Begbie there, not the guy from Trainspotting, a Liverpool band, but a song from 2009, Blue and White, and that was for Everton's appearance in the FA Cup final that year. The song didn't help them go on to win it, they actually lost to Chelsea 2-1. Chelsea's two scorers that day, incidentally, two guys that are featured in MLS.
MLS, have featured in mm-hmm. MLS? So Drogba.
Yep.
And Lampard?
Yes. Oh. And the referee that day, Howard Webb.
Oh, there you go.
It's MLS all over the place. Everton's goalkeeper was Tim Howard. So oh, it's like, yeah. Just looking through the lineups here, Ashley Cole. Wow, it's like lots of guys that's got some connections over here.
You couldn't cross Everton over that line.
And David Moyes was the manager.
And I showed you the Everton kit that it was actually mid-90s.
Yes, then. And it was a Danke kit.
Yeah.
So that was our last song that we had for FA Cup, because that was our theme for this month, which was a pity because you've just reminded me.
Yeah. And this is when I actually became a Manchester United fan, because 25 years ago, this weekend, was...
I can't believe it. I remember it happening at the time.
So do I. That's why I became... Because Eric Cantona did the kung fu kick.
I remember watching Match of the Day, and it was like...
And because it was a big highlight here over here, too, because we didn't get that many highlights back in the mid-90s. It was all right once in a while, but...
Oh, yes, that was crazy.
The guy came down and said, like, F off to France, you F... MF-er. So that's what he said, and that's what got the kick. And then Cantona obviously was suspended. And then
he had that odd saying,
and I can't remember
about
what
the seagulls following the trawlers.
Exactly. Yeah, so that was a great time, I guess.
That actual incident as well, it's one of my... There's a few things I like to collect, oddities, and one of them is records that's got football sleeves.
Yeah.
And there's a song called Kung Fu by an Irish band called Ash.
Yeah.
And it's just
dedicated
to that. Kung Fu kick.
Oh, okay.
It just coincidence that they were releasing that
at the same time.
It's like, there we go, there's our cover.
Oh, really?
It's fantastic. Crazy. If I'd known that was 25 years ago, I'd have played that tonight.
Yeah.
But anyway, now it's time for things that's made the headlines this week or this past 7 days in BC's Soccer Web Headlines. BC Soccer Web Headlines is brought to you in partnership with bcsoccerweb.com, your one-stop site for local, national and international news, headlines, stories, articles and features. Make it part of your daily routine, morning and night. Check out bcsoccerweb.com, and I'm sure there's been tons of things catching your eye on the site this week, Steve.
Yeah, a few things here. First of all, start with MLS. TFC is kind of, as you would say, glad that they didn't win the cup, because now their $6 million, or would be $6 million man, is not going to be in the lineup for a while. Michael Bradley has undergone successful ankle surgery. He was hurt in the MLS final. Bradley, after the game, downplayed the injury, saying he'd be fine in 2 or 3 weeks. But he spent the whole offseason rehabbing. And it still hasn't worked out. And he essentially is now taking the surgery. He's going to be out for 4 months. The injury, like I said, has not responded to treatment. And he's going to miss probably up to mid-May. So that's about 13 to 14 games that he's going to be out for. Altidore came out and put the blame on the club. He says, "I don't think it's good enough. He's the guy that takes care of himself in an incredible way, an incredible professional. I think he was let down," which is putting the blame on the club.
Yeah, and then there was rumors that they might move him on because of his comments, but that was downplayed as well.
It's
ridiculous to wait this long to suddenly get him surgery, though.
Yeah, but I think they were hoping to avoid surgery, probably.
They should have been keeping a closer eye, because, I don't know. I mean, it's a big, big loss to them.
Yeah.
Because you want to get the points on the board early. It's going to be a competitive season.
For sure.
But, yeah, massive blow for them.
Now,
and they get no salary relief in that either.
Yeah. And last year, I remember MLS had that whole issue with the anti-fascist,
Antifa.
Antifa, right. That whole system. Now, German football club, St. Pauli, has been put on the UK police terror list. The club has been renowned for their activism against the far right. But they are on the list with those far right groups and terrorist organizations. But Deputy Assistant Commissioner Dean Hayden of the UK's counter-terrorism policing has released a statement saying legitimate protests are on the group because they're there to help police in close partners identify and understand signs and symbols they may encounter in their day-to-day working lives, so they know the difference between the symbols of for the many groups they might come across. So it's almost like they're not really there because they're that's what he sounds like.
Yeah, they're not there. They're saying as themselves,
yeah.
But I mean, they have a very big anti-fascist element at their support, and it's going to be interesting to see because there's a number of other teams as well. Like in London, Dulwich Hamlet, who we talk a lot about on the show, who I was hoping to go and see when it was over, but unfortunately, I'm not going to be in London now when they're at home. But they've got the same kind of support and like base and stuff like that as well. So are they going to feature on it?
And the thing is, St. Pauli has a lot of groups around the world in that kind of with them too. So I know they have a London, England chapter, UK chapter and stuff like
they've
that.
They've got close ties with Celtic as well and the Green Brigade that's there. So yeah, interesting stuff.
Now, agents are not happy either. They're furious at FIFA because they're plan to cap commissions and they're threatening legal action. Last September in Zurich, the FIFA proposed a plan to limit agents of the selling club to maximum 10% of the transfer fee. The global governing body also wants a 3% cap of the player's fee for agents of the buying club, which is confusing me, the wording of it. But essentially to reduce what they have. The World Federation is looking to implement the plans as early as next season, but could now face stern opposition from the agents. Top agent Jonathan Barnett said, FIFA should recognize us as and treat us in a proper manner. The truth is FIFA doesn't know exactly what an agent does. And I don't think anybody really knows that either. FIFA, go ahead.
I was going to say, this is one of the rare times that I would actually say I stand with FIFA in this. I'm all for this. Cap them.
Yeah, and then FIFA is also saying we're aiming for a system of balanced and reasonable regulation instead of the law of the jungle currently in place.
Yeah.
With conflicts of interest rife and exorbitant commissions being earned left and right. Last year alone, the agents earned approximately $653 million US, which is about just under 500 million pounds.
Wow.
Four times more than in 2015.
Yep. Cap them 10% max. Stop ripping the players off.
Now, Lyon, they've protested before, but this past week they're protesting because a local chef passed away local chef and his restaurant lost a Michelin star after a record run. They protested against the local restaurant for the local restaurant of late chef Paul Bocuse losing one of its three Michelin stars during one of their last matches. He died recently in January 2018 at the age of 91, but his restaurant, and I'm going to have a problem with this one, L'Auberge du Pont de Colon, was awarded 3 stars in 1965 and had a record of 55 years of having those 3 stars, which is the highest ranking, and it was recently brought to an end, sparking controversy in the world of French cuisine. Lyon president Jean-Michel Olas joined the protest in social media. The restaurant has in the past provided meals for the club during European competitions.
Yeah, because until I'd seen that part of it, I was like, why are they protesting? But there is a connection there.
And
after reading that, I was kind of still like, why are they protesting? Have they got anything better to protest about? But
it's an odd thing to protest, but I thought go on a fun note.
Oh, we're finishing on that.
That's it.
Oh. Sacre bleu is about the only French that I know. Well, that was a interesting show. Did you learn anything exciting this week, Steve?
I learned that when Zach's not here, we get the show done really fast.
Yeah, we really rattle through it. And it's
we're
like,
out of here before what?
We're tight, which is what we've been trying to work on for the last little while.
I'm not blaming Zach, but when you have two people, usually you do get a little bit faster.
In all seriousness, though, we are wanting to get the show a bit tighter because we know that I ramble on and then we just end up going over 2 hours. So we're trying to work hard this year and getting it a little bit slicker, a little bit tighter. Just how I like it.
Yeah.
But that is it for this week's show. So just before we go, let everyone know where they can find you online, Steve.
You can find me on Twitter at WhitecapsBeat.
You can find Zach in his sick bed. But if you want to find him online and not contract the coronavirus, not saying he's got that, but you never know, you can find him on Twitter at ZacharyAM. I'm Michael McCall. You can find me on Twitter at AFTN Canada, on Instagram at AFTN Soccer. And there might be some interesting UK stuff going up on our Instagram over the next couple of weeks as I'm off on my travels. And on YouTube as well at AFTN Canada. So until next time, thanks for listening. Take care and mon the Caps.
Going to your first match is an experience you never forget. The atmosphere of what's going on around the pitch looks beautiful, and you always look and go, wow, I'd love to play here one day. If you get the bug, it's going to stay with you for life.
Mm-hmm.